take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm 51, all right? And you're going to have to delete that up there, guys. I don't know. I'm sorry. So I appreciate if you would. Oh, man, so stupid. I just forgot all about that. Live stream is a blessing, but right now for me, it's a curse. But anyway, okay. So just keep praying for clarity, all right, where we're going to study on Wednesday nights. But for tonight, let's go to Psalm 51, okay? Psalm 51 is where we will be. And as you're turning there, you may already be somewhat familiar with this chapter of the Bible, this Psalm of the Bible. And let's find out who's got a little knowledge about it. Tell me, who's the human penman that God used to pen this Psalm? Anybody know? David. It's David, King David. Now, does anybody have any in the background behind the Psalm? Yes. So the background behind this psalm is this. David, we know of his horrendous disaster as he committed sin against God, but as he committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband murdered. He did a lot of craziness in that moment. But Psalm 51 brings it all back to God. It's really David's confession before the Lord. It is him just confessing his sin to God. And he is showing, he's writing it all out for us, showing the way back to God. And it's such a wonderful psalm because, listen, it should give all of us hope and encouragement, knowing that even if and when we mess up, God still wants us. And David points a way back to God as he confesses his sin to the Lord. But as I read Psalm 51, in his confession, there seems to be, as David alludes to, a lack in his life that seemed to have led to the sin in his life. You see, there was something that was vital to David that he needed, and really every believer needs, something that David needed yet was missing from his life in this moment. And I want all of us to know today that if we have this same lack in our lives that he had, we too can become, I'm not going to say victim to the sin, but we too can become trapped in the sin. We too can fall or falter into the sin even that he fell into. Why? Because we all come short of the glory of God. We all mess up. And no one's exempt from the consequences of sin. As one person said years ago, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequence. So David, in this moment of his life, when he sinned with Bathsheba, I believe he was missing something vital in his life. Let's look at it tonight together. Psalm 51. Let's start in verse number, let's start in verse number 5, all right? Psalm 51, verse number 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in a hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Did you catch the phrase in verse number 6, that first phrase when he says, behold, thou desirest, what's the next word? Desirest truth in the inward parts. The great psalmist of Israel, who penned some 70 to 80 psalms. The psalmist who wrote, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The same psalmist who wrote, oh, how love I thy law, is my meditation all the day. The same psalmist who wrote these psalms, who prayed these psalms, who sang these psalms. The same psalmist who confessed that he was missing something said this in this moment. He said he was missing truth in the inward parts. Now think about it for just a moment. At this time in David's life, he was a great king, right? Do you like this? He was a great king. He had been recognized by many as that. He's been recognized by God, a man after God's own heart. He'd been recognized by his own father Jesse as a faithful son. He'd been recognized by the entire nation of Israel as a great hero. He'd been recognized even by his enemies as a champion among men. He was a great king and truly great in the eyes of men. And yes, even God, because God gave him the testimony that he was a man for God's own heart. And though it looked like King David had it all together, at least on the outside, understand, for some period of time, a short period of time, there was something missing on the inside. And David said, truth in the inward parts. Now listen, even after his horrible sin against God and against others, understand David, after he did all that, continued on. Continued on with his duties as a king. He was going through all the motions of a king, meaning he was giving the same orders that he had been giving before. He was running the same military strategies he had done so before. He was still organizing the same political transactions as he had done before. He was still going about all the motions and actions of a man, a leader, and a king, yet knowing all the while, deep down inside, there was something missing. Deep down inside, he was missing that real sweet fellowship with God. And as he said, he was missing truth in the inward parts. I couldn't imagine being a leader of a great nation like that of Israel as David was. I couldn't imagine the difficulties, no doubt, that would bring, the difficult decisions that he would have to stand and make, the crucial choices he would have to make, and of course the constant criticism, no doubt, from even people around him. The many hardships he would have to endure just for being the king, just for being the leader of the nation. There'd be much to deal with as a leader in the will of God. But can you imagine trying to do what he was doing outside of the will of God? Meaning his heart drawing away from the Lord, his mind drawing away from God, trying to do all those things apart from God. That would be miserably impossible. I understand David was functioning seemingly fine, at least before the people in their eyes, what they saw, seemingly fine on the outside, but on the inside was a great struggle. Why? For at least, probably a couple years, but at least 9 months we know, he lived a lie. He had no fellowship with God, and there was no truth in the inward parts. You know, as I thought on this, I've had to ask myself, how many days have we had doing the normal routine of the day, going about our day without that sweet fellowship with God? I mean, is it possible to sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and have no heart for God? Can it be possible for someone to speak God's name with their lips, but yet their heart be far from Him? I mean, could it be even possible for someone to take the Bible and teach it and preach it, go through that routine of giving a service or a sermon and leading a service, and yet their heart be far from God? Not only is it possible, I'm telling you, it can happen. It can happen. The Bible says this in Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as his people draw near to me with their mouths, with their lips do honor me, have removed their heart far from me. Listen, to combat that heart disease of a heart being far from God, we need to have truth in the inward parts. And to do that, we need to be in the truth, and the truth needs to be in us. And so from this portion of Scripture, especially Psalm 51 and verse number 6, I want to see that this evening. Truth in the inward parts, and how do we do it? How do we get it? And how do we keep it? All right, I got 2 points tonight. Everybody said, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Okay. Anyway, so let's look at it together this evening. All right. Psalm 51, look at verse number 6 again. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Our fathers, we look to your word. I pray you help us, and you would give us wisdom, and apply the truth of the word to our lives. Again, that we leave here not only changed, challenged, but also changed. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to have truth in the inward parts, number one, that means this. Number one, we have to be in the truth. You see, David, he knew he was in the wrong. He had to have known. He had to have known, yet, like our father, I was about to say Abraham, that's a song. No, our father Adam, he tried to hide. He tried to hide his sin. Just like all of fallen humanity tries to hide their sin, David did the same. So understand, God in that moment tried to hide from the Lord, tried to hide his sin. God had to send a prophet Nathan to point it out to him and to bring everything to light. Had to do it. However, if David was in the Word as he should have been in the and had the truth in the inward parts, then I believe that the light would have shined much sooner. And I say that because of this scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Guess who wrote that? Starts with a D, ends with a David. That's right, David. David. But yet he wasn't living it, was he? Listen, God, he uses his word to show us where we are wrong and to show us how to make it right. Well, we have to be in his word to see that light. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Listen, the Bible knows the very intention of your heart and mind. Knows your intentions, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And God could have used his word, the Bible, to show David those bad intentions. But at this moment, David lacked truth in the inward parts. God will use his word in your life and mine if we're in it, you see. We must be in the truth. Let me ask you a question. As you read the Bible, and God shows you a particular area in your life that needs to change, and he convicts you over that area of your life, which, by the way, we should be thankful for the Holy Spirit's conviction, all right? Please know that. That is a wonderful thing. Don't run from that. You say, why, preacher? Because that's letting you and I know that God still loves you and working in your heart and wants to make you more into the image of his dear son, all right? So don't turn it away. Ask God, as again, it was David, "Search me, O God, and know me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me." Don't turn the conviction away. Turn to it. Respond. Respond to it. But as you read the Word of God and God shows you a particular area in your life that you need to change, let me ask you, will you change it? Will you admit, as David did, that you're wrong and God's Word is right and you need to change it? Or will you just push it away and go about doing the same old exact things? That's something I've said many times over the years, and I have to remind myself often, is this phrase: if I change nothing, nothing changes. That's pretty philosophical, isn't it? Crazy smart, right? It's just simple. If I change nothing, nothing changes. It's so true. After all, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. That's crazy. No, if nothing changes, because I ain't changed nothing. So if God works in your heart and shows something you need to get right with him, or a particular area in your life that needs to get right or get out of your life, what will you do? Let me ask you a question. Ladies, let's say you're going shopping, and just before you walk out the door, you look into the mirror, and your hair is an absolute mess. I'm not talking about just a little bit of a messy bun. I'm talking about it is horrendous, all right? Are you going to look at the mirror and see your hair crazy messy and say, "Eh, oh well, like or lump it, I don't care"? Are you going to do that? Or are you at least take a brush and, "I got to fix that"? You know, which one are you going to do? Like, forget it, I don't care, or fix it? Fix it. Okay, good. One of you at least going to fix it. That's great. All right. You're going to fix it. Why? Because you saw yourself in the mirror. All right, fellas, how about you? You go by that same mirror, and you pass by and you kind of do the whole nose check. And you see there's some bears in the cave. All right, your house is haunted. You know what I'm saying. You got a lot of boogers up there, okay? What are you going to do? Are you going to leave them alone? Or are you going to pick them and flick them as far as you can? It's always a competition with fellas, all right? I'm just saying. Sorry. Guys are gross, okay? Anyway. No, you're going to take care of that, all right? Sorry, guys, my mind is crazy tonight. I apologize, all right? But you're going to take care of that. Why? Because you saw in the mirror something needed to be fixed. Well, look what the mirror of the Word of God says. In James 1, 22 and through 25, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Basically saying this, you look at the mirror of the word of God, and God says change it, you need to change it, and not leave it the same. Again, if I change nothing, nothing changes, you see. No, if God works in our heart about the word of God, then we must change it. We must change ourselves, whatever it is. But in order to do so, to have that truth on the inward parts, we've got to be in the truth. We must be in the word of God. Read it, study it, meditate upon it, believe it, obey it, and don't just mark it up. Rather, allow the Bible to mark you. Get in the word of God. Get in the word of God. How can we ever have truth in the inward parts if we're never in the truth itself? It's not going to happen. In John 17, 17, Jesus prayed this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Get into the truth. That's how we're going to have truth in the inward parts. Number one, get into truth. Number two, allow the truth to get into you. How? Well, we've said it many times and I'll continue saying it. But we must memorize Scripture. Memorizing the Word of God. You know, David, he wrote an amazing verse that has helped so many believers down through the ages. And I don't know if he wrote this verse Second Samuel 11 or post, all right? I don't know if he wrote it, of course, pre-Bathsheba or post. I don't know which time he did it. But nonetheless, it's this verse in Psalm 119, verse 11, when he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In that moment and in that verse, when he was writing that, David is pointing to the very power of the Word of God when it comes to keeping sin out of our lives. He's pointing to the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is the most powerful antidote to sin. The Bible is the cure to sinful habits. The Scripture is the remedy against sinful shortcomings. And we must, listen church, we must take our medicine. We must be in the Word of God. The Bible says of itself that it is our sword. It is our weapon of war in a spiritual battle that you and I are in every single day. But we must use it. We must use this sword. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, again, be reminded that the word here, when it says Word of God, that word for word is a different Greek word. It's not logos. Logos is used for the entirety of Scripture when you see that. It's talking about the entire canon of Scripture, right? But here it's a different word. The Greek word is rhema. Now, rhema here is not talking about the entirety of Scripture. Rather, it's talking about a word, a saying, maybe a short phrase, or as we would say, a verse. That's what he's talking about here when he says, take the sword of the Spirit. Take that word, that phrase, that verse that you need to overcome your sin that God is convicting you of. Again, the Word of God is what God will use. It's the power to help through that, to deliver from that. It really is the Word of God. There is power in the Word. But we're not going to be in the Word 24/7. Just be honest. We can't do that. We got things we must do as well, like work and make money to be able to feed our families. Why? To get the energy that we need to go back to work to make money. Why? To feed our families. Why? So we can get enough energy to go back to work. You know. So how can we have it then? How can we have the rhema? How can we have the word on our hearts? As David said, I've hid thy word in my heart. How do we do that? We go back to what I said in the very beginning of this point. We must memorize Scripture. It's the only way. Memorize the word of God. Here's what the Lord said to Joshua. In Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. For thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." But how is he going to make his way prosperous? How was he going to have good success? By being in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to be in him. So we can have truth in the inward parts. You see, something happened with David one day that caused him to have a terrible lack in his life. And in turn, that terrible lack caused him to do some terrible things. There was something missing. I believe in his confession in Psalm 51, he was confessing that he was missing truth in the inward parts. And I guarantee you, we find ourselves in a mess, you know what might be missing? Truth in inward parts. Not being in the Bible. Allowing the Bible to be in us, not meditating upon it, not obeying it. Listen, I'm telling you, that would draw us down a path we do not want to go. You know, David penned in Psalm 51 for God to have him to do that, no doubt it had to be humbling and even humiliating. But I am glad that God had him to write it. I'm glad that God had him write Psalm 51. I'm glad he was transparent about his failure and about his sin, but I'm also glad he was transparent about the mercy and grace of God as well. Why? Because again, this psalm, it points us back to the way, or the way back to God. That's what it does. Points us back to God. And that direction, that map, that compass is something that we all will need in our lives from time to time to know the way back to God. So I'm thankful for this psalm. But maybe tonight, as we look at verse number 6, maybe this could be a good preventative medicine. All right, to take tonight, to know that if we keep the truth in the inward parts, it won't lead down the same disaster like David had in his life. God help us to keep truth in